Welcome to a special edition of Total Packers from the Packers Legends Cruise. Does it really get any sweeter than this? I don't think so. Packer fans, we're along for the ride from Fort Lauderdale to Cozumel, Mexico. Along the way, we've made many lasting memories. But I have to tell you the truth. Reliving the glory days of the 1996 season with William Henderson, Dorsey Levens, and yes, the grave digger, Gilbert Brown. Now that's special. William Henderson.
Yes, sir, Mr. Butler.
North Carolina. Being drafted, now, was the Packers one of the teams that worked you out? Because sometimes there's always a team that you spend time with, they don't even work you out. We talked to Blake Martinez. He said the Packers didn't even work him out. He just filled out a questionnaire. He went in the fourth round, of course. Did that, was something similar to you?
I was fortunate. I didn't go to the combines, didn't go into any of the senior games.
So you didn't go to the combines?
No, didn't go to combines. Bill Cowher came as a favor of my running back coach to just check me out. And he caught the eye of Reggie McKenzie. Shout out to Reggie McKenzie. And Reggie made things happen from there.
You blocked for six of the top nine rushers or something. Tell me about being a lead blocker and making a Pro Bowl for the first time. Because back then, fullbacks weren't getting their due. They just weren't. Well, until all of a sudden it kind of changed for you.
Everything changed for me. I was fortunate. I understood my role coming in. It wasn't to get any glory. It wasn't to get any accolade. It was to, you know, open holes and be available. I enjoyed what I did, and I knew what my role was, and was fortunate to block for guys like Dorsey, and Amon, Edgar, who made me look good because their skill sets took over after I made my initial blocks.
Fred on the handoff to Dorsey, and
he's
Dorsey
there.
Scores it. Dorsey Levens into the end zone for the touchdown.
Dorsey Levens.
Yo.
Can you square this up? What college did you go to?
Come on, man.
I got seven of them on the docket. I'm trying to figure out, you know, was it Georgia Tech? Was it Notre Dame?
So I was at Notre Dame for 2 years.
Okay.
That didn't work out, so I transferred to Georgia Tech, where I finished
up.
Now,
were you there with Ricky Waters and Bettis before?
Yeah, man. You know what? So we had, my freshman year, we had 11 guys in the running back room.
What?
10 of those guys went to the NFL. Two of those guys, Jeff Burris. I can't think of Willie's last name. He plays safety for the Bears.
Okay.
Number 32. Anyway, all 10 of those guys went to the NFL. So
wow. There
was so much talent in there. When I heard, so what happened was, I had won the starting job at running back in the spring of my freshman year, going into my sophomore year. Yeah. Hurt my knee, had surgery, wanted the red shirt. Holtz and I got into some words about not red shirting. That didn't go real well. And then long story, he, at the end of the day, he was like, he literally told me, your wait to get back on the field is going to be probably a little longer than you want to wait.
Oh, boy.
So for me, that was, it's time to go. And I wasn't happy there anyway, so it was a no-brainer for me.
So coming to the Packers, how did you think your role was going to change, especially in the 90s, as far as a dual situation with you and Edgar Bennett?
I didn't know what was going to happen when I got drafted. I was just trying to make the team. As a fifth round pick, I wasn't, you know, you're not guaranteed a spot on the roster. And I was competing with Dexter McNabb, who was the fullback, who was backing up Edgar.
Yep.
So it was really between him and me. So I was fortunate enough to make the team. My goal was really just to make the practice squad my first year. I was like, if I can do that, I'm good to go. I can work my way up from there.
Yeah, that's amazing because to me, when you moved into that next level, you know, Pro Bowl status and you got to this level, and one of the best catches of all time to me, NFC Championship game.
Here's Brett Favre, back to throw. He looks out of time, going to the end zone. There's Dorsey Levens. Touchdown, Dorsey!
What a catch by Dorsey Levens. You don't expect fullbacks to make those kind of plays, Jim, and that is a big one.
That's one of the best catches I've ever seen. And it was one on their best cornerback, Eric Davis.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that catch.
You know, it was one of those plays. Speaking of playing out of position, though, let's go back to Georgia Tech. My junior year, I got switched to wide receiver.
What?
I started at flanker.
I did not know this.
My junior year, and I thought it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. In hindsight, it was a blessing coming to play with Brett So I think that year kind of prepared me. But we worked on that play for, what, 8 weeks? and there's so many plays that we work on, especially like kind of – that wasn't a trick play, but it wasn't the usual kind of plays that we would run.
Right.
We would practice them, and they would never –
the fullback wheel pass never gets called.
Never get called. I mean, there's so many plays that we had in the playbook that just never made it to the field. And right. I thought that was going to be one of them. But when he threw it up there, I was like, you better go get it then. Or they ain't gonna throw it again.
That's right.
Yeah, that was just a remarkable catch. In that particular game, I remember Gilbert Brown caused a fumble.
Here's Collins on the handoff to the second man. Johnson fumbled. Ball Bruce. Who Packers. Got it? Packers the Packers, Packers it. Say it's theirs at the 47, and it is.
Butler. He caused a fumble. I recovered it, and I tried to give it to him. He said, man, I don't need no ball. Then he did his little grave digger thing. I want to talk to you about the beginning, but where did you come up with the grave? What made you do that when they introduced you? Because the crowd used to go nuts when you did that.
Mm-hmm. I stoned up a little bit.
Where'd you come up with that from, man?
I don't know, man. It's just something I did in college, and it just stuck with me, you know, yeah. Just all through the times and stuff like that. But first time I ever did it, I'll tell a story. I did it in, like, Kansas hold, like, 53,000 people, and I did it. And first time I did it, I threw my leg up too high, and I fell on my back. and out of everybody, 53,000, I heard my mama laughing at me.
Really?
53,000. I told him not to do that.
Welcome back on Total Packers with William Henderson, Dorsey Levins, and Gilbert Brown.
1, 2, 3, let's go, let's go. 1, 2, 3, go,
let's go. Now, your journey started a little bit different.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, allegedly the Vikings drafted you, and whatever happened, but we're glad to have you, obviously, with the Packers. But tell me about that transition, you know, because that can be difficult for a young man to think you're going one yeah. team and then it changes all of a sudden.
I made it all the way to the beginning of the first week of the first game. We lost our running back and they had to bring in another running back. So they said they got to clear up a roster spot.
Oh boy.
So Dennis Green called me in his office, Guy Rest his soul. He come in his office. He said, look, man, we got to clear up a roster spot. So what we're going to do is we're going to send you to the hotel and we're going to bring you back. And all I was thinking about in a couple of days, all I was thinking about, do you get paid for that?
Right.
Because now I'm going to go home to mama. I can wait at home. So they right. was like, no, I'll just go to the. So I do what the coach tell me to do. I just got up, mm-hmm. left, drove over to the hotel, which was 10 minutes away. I walked down, knew the girl at the front desk. She said, hey, Gary Reynolds from the Green Bay Packers just called. I was like, for real, what do you want? So I take it up in my room. So I got to my room, and he said, hey, man, I called him. He said, hey, you're a Green Bay Packer now. We're going to send you some tickets. Oh. And we'll fly you in the morning. I said, man, I got my truck. I'll see you tonight. So whatever was in my locker in Minnesota is still in that locker.
You left it. Just...
I just took off. Took off. Drove to Green Bay. Got to Green Bay. Walked through. First thing in the morning, you see number 92 walk through there. Now, for me, I know about you guys, but for me, as a defensive guy, I stuck to him like a sponge. You know, halftime, he like, back up, big fella. I'm like, no. I want to learn. I want to learn because people like that, you hear it, you see it, but you want to feel it too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in order to be great, you got to be around greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was greatness. So I wanted to be as close as I can.
And one thing about you just touched on it, we've been locker mates. I just remember you bringing in that Gilbert burger. And Reggie White went in that bag, and he just started going at it. And I bit this
Can't
burger.
Can't tell him no.
You're right.
Big dog, go
I
ahead.
I bit this burger, and it just exploded on my face.
Oh, you got to have napkins.
Yeah.
If it ain't nasty, it ain't for me.
So the Gilbert burger was a big deal.
Yep. I started that out in another thing in Kansas where, you know, college athletes don't have a lot of money.
Right,
get no money, you know. So I if I'm going to go over there, I'm going to make it the best
thing I possibly right. could. So I used to get that Whopper over there in Kansas, and that Whopper be like, dude, I can't get my mouth on it, you know, because I wanted, that's all I'm going to get.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when I came to Green Bay, you know, the Burger King on Oneida was where right. it started at, you know, and I would say, you know, we had a great game. I said, yeah. I'm going to bring it in for the boys, you know.
Yeah.
And I kept bringing it in for you. Dude yeah. over at night and say, man, I so hate you got to pay for all these hamburgers, man. He said, you know, I'm trying to help you out. Before I knew it, it was just gangbusters.
Were you guys roommates? Who was your roommate the night of the Super Bowl?
Jervy was my roommate the whole time.
Travis
Jervy? Yeah, Jervy was my roommate.
Did you have a roommate?
Gabe Wilkins.
Early man.
Who was your roommate, William?
Super Bowl like Brian Williams, but typically they put me with every new player on the team.
Really?
Every time.
Somebody. Will and I were roommates during training camp, though.
Yeah, okay. Training camp.
Over at St. Norbert's.
Then he kicked me out with Travis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Allegedly.
No, I did kick. He's... I'm not gonna say why.
Did he wet the bed or what? I mean, why would you?
It was worse
out?
Than that, man. He just he walk around naked. I'm like, Will, put some clothes on.
Oh,
man.
You this is naked
not,
thing, man.
You were not
man.
At home, man.
I was
like, you cannot put some clothes. I was like, Will, put
little towels,
and that was it.
Man.
That
little
was
towels.
It.
Oh, like, you blaming on the towel?
Little towels.
Okay.
Little Saint Norbert towels. Little towels. Ain't
he putting lotion on in the mirror and stuff?
Roy Lee, really? it was unacceptable is what it was. It was unacceptable.
You like that, and I'm hiding hamburgers in the closet.
Gilbert used to leave his key over top in training camp, over top of the door. So his roommate was Santana. And I remember Santana went to screaming, and what happened to all our ham and bologna? Go to Roy Lee room. Man, I went down there, I had me a Dagwood sandwich. Big old sandwich. Hey, I went and bought this. I didn't go down there.
We had the big old refrigerator in there.
Refrigerator in there. You know, we had the little small refrigerator.
Yeah, clown the chairs. We were doing it, man.
Big screen TV.
Yeah, I remember.
I mean, it was plush. And he made one mistake, took the key on top. Just go in there and get what you want.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Super Bowl 31. And now, for the National Football Conference champion, Green Bay Packers.
You guys have to tell me your best moment when you actually get to the Superdome and you realize as a child that was your dream, the pinnacle of going to a Super Bowl. For me, it was when we saw Luther Vandross. I said, this is what it feels like to be on top. This is the Super Bowl. How did you guys feel when you were actually at the Super Bowl, Gilbert? Would you?
It didn't hit me until I came through the curtain, you know, because we was in the back.
Yeah.
And me, Reggie, Sean, and Santana was like huddled up trying to go over our stuff. And then we get in formation to go out. And right. I'm still like, yeah, this is okay. And as soon as I came through that curtain, man, and I saw them light bulbs flashing. People. I almost pissed on myself. It's like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? Because then everybody had a routine of what they was going to do. But it didn't go that way. Because as soon as you get through that curtain, man, you right. see all them lights flashing and stuff. And you see your guys you go to battle with and stuff. And
right.
I mean, I know I was crying under my shield because that was, I know how much it meant to Reggie to get to this
yes.
point.
Yes.
But now we got to get it for him.
Right.
We got to win it.
Yes.
And for me, just crying up under it, that's why I'm glad I have right. my visor on.
Well, that's why you wear the shield, you're crying. That's definitely breaking
news. Yeah.
Well, good thing you had on yellow pants, so we're good with that.
Wow. Right.
Dorsey, for you, what was that like?
I didn't sleep. I
really?
Woke up like every 30, 45 minutes, looking like I was oversleep, looking at the clock, just checking.
Right.
But I didn't sleep at all. I was on pure adrenaline. Like, by the time the game started, I was physically exhausted.
Really?
But I was running on adrenaline because I was
right.
on top of the anticipation. Like you said, this is the Super Bowl.
Right.
This is what you've been dreaming about since day one. And it's like, this is really about to happen, yo. Like, right. When we wake up in the morning, this is really about to go down. And it was unbelievable.
William?
I was trying my best to not be that guy. Coach Mike had hit on it earlier in the week, before we got there to New Orleans. Don't be that distraction.
Right.
Be the guy who was professional in handling all your responsibilities. And I just literally sunk back in myself, retreated. I stopped wanting to go out. I didn't want to do anything but sit there and focus on my playbook. I studied. I mean, I literally had gotten myself, I was entrenched into being a part of the Super Bowl team.
Right.
And I really didn't stop with that attitude or that determination to not be that guy until Gilbert and I were sitting at the base of the grandstand. Mm-hmm. Sean and everybody up all, you and Brett, Coach Mike, everybody's on the top. And Gilbert and I sitting on the bottom step. They would basically treat us like stepchildren. That's all we did. Yeah. But we sat there, and the confetti's going down, the smoke's in the air, and realizing this whole season that it was an unbelievable season for us. Mm. And I'd had some personal things I'd been through, but the entire season was over, and it was over in the greatest of fashions.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at Gilbert, and we kind of sat there, like, we could barely talk, but we were talking to one another. Time was moving. Everything was moving slow and still at that point. I was like, man, we just did it, you know? He's like, yeah. I was like, what do we do now? And I don't know if he said it first or I said it, but it was like we both said, let's go do it again.
Yeah.
And that's like the beginning. That was the beginning of me starting to work on getting ready to go to Super Bowl 32.
Now, you do it again. You think this is easy. You can win Super Bowls every year.
Rory, the first 3 years of my NFL career, I thought it was automatic.
Yeah.
NFC Championship rookie year. Super Bowl victory, second year. And then back to Super Bowl in San Diego. I mean, I thought I got the golden ticket. Willy Wonka came to visit me directly. And right. I thought life was going to be beautiful forever. And, 32, just, I have not yet watched that film. I've never watched the video. I don't even like, I've never wanted to go back and replay that game in any capacity. It's so good to be on top, and it absolutely miserable coming in second.
Now, Dorsey, for you, I was a little frustrated because you were dominating the running game. Did you have like 9 carries?
Not, I had 15 carries for 75 yards at halftime, and that's I got the ball saying, 3 times in the second half. I got 15
and after that,
rushes. I don't know how many balls I caught in the first half.
And then it just didn't get you the ball?
The game plan just changed, and we stopped running the ball. And, that still hurts a little bit.
that was a little frustrating.
Yeah, you know, for me, you know, I felt like when that game was over, I felt like I wish we just didn't even go, as opposed to going and losing. That's
really?
How bad I felt. Like as high as I felt the year before, I felt like it was twice as low to get there and lose it, especially considering we were 14-point favorites. That was a rough one. Like I'm not sure if I'm still completely over that one yet.
Yeah, you should have got 30 carries. We'd have won that game.
The Denver Broncos came and thanked. They were like, man, I don't know why your coach changed it. Because right. Dorsey was killing them. And they thanked us for not running them anymore.
Thanks, guys. We're back to wrap it up right after this. Now, after Super Bowl 32, things start to change. Holmgren leaves. A lot of different people are coming in. Everything started to change for a lot of people. But you guys do a lot of things off the field and on the field. Dorsey, I'm going to see you do a lot of acting. And you, not only are you very good at it, but it seems like you really enjoy that. Is that something you want to do in your career moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. It's something I really do enjoy doing, especially, you know, the part of it where you can become somebody else and not be held accountable for their actions.
Right.
I really enjoy
but
that
the guy
part of
you
it.
Played wasn't a nice guy.
He was not a nice guy.
I said, I don't want my friend playing that guy.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, I get a bunch of those roles where I'm kind of the bad guy, I enjoy it. You know, I do.
Yeah, that's always good. So now, Gilbert, you have the Gilbert Brown Foundation, and not only that, you help thousands of kids and adults with everything. But the one that really touches me the most, when you do a free football camp in Milwaukee for these inner city kids, that's amazing. You have sponsors, but for the kids, just come. I mean, I appreciate you, what you've done off the field, more so on the field.
Yeah, the football camp is it's a structure that I went through. Reggie McKenzie, not the one we know, but the one that blocked for OJ. That Reggie McKenzie. He came from Detroit. So he used to do a camp in Detroit, and nobody had no money to go to Michigan camp. No money to go. That's $200, $300.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
All the great football players that came through the Detroit system, myself, Bettis, whoever it is, you know, we went through that camp. So I brought that structure to Milwaukee because these kids ain't got no money to pay for no football camps. These kids, half of them don't even got I feed them three meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that helped me, I'm trying to pass it on to them and to get these kids from 6 years old all the way up to 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in my camp, we don't just teach them about football.
Mm.
We want to teach you about being a doctor. We want to teach you about going to the military. We want to teach you about doing all this stuff. So you get ready so when you do get the opportunity, it's there.
Yeah, I appreciate that, William. You not only do you help with the Gilbert Brown Foundation, you used to help me do a lot of stuff with breast cancer. And I just appreciate you being available. Because sometimes it's hard to just be available for a lot of events. People are pulling you all
what's
different
the,
ways.
What's the locker room rule, Leroy?
Hey, well, hey, if my boy called me, I'm there.
That's it.
It don't matter
what it
is.
And I've always going to practice that because you gentlemen have always stepped up for honorable causes. I never started my own foundation simply because the things that you guys were already championing was within my passions.
Yep.
So and I love being available for my guys because one, not only do we get a chance to fellowship and hang out and break bread and talk trash, you know, I know that it's for the better cause.
And not only, I appreciate you guys joining us today. I hope everybody learns something about you that you guys they can't find on the internet. That's why we call it Total Packers. Thank you very much, guys.